The Outdoorsman Radio Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors, LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time once again for the Outdoorsman Radio Show. Here's your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Everybody, better get the microphone in front of my face. Let's see. We were talking to, this is Alan Ellis. This is the Outdoors and Radio Show. Robin's in the room. She's doing some stuff over there to help us get ready for today. She's with us, our listeners in spirit. So let's talk to John. Good morning, John. Back again. How are you? What's your question again? Oh, he's not there right now? Oh. All right, well, let's get to our listeners. Listen, we got some very, very sad news, ladies and gentlemen, during the break. Don Heinbaugh, Chief Don, called us or texted us and informed us that Mike Kaplan passed away. Mike, one of the first people Robin met when she went to the station. Mike would come in the morning frequently. He worked at the Sunoco station next door, and a lot of people knew Mike from that service station, but he would come in and sit with us during the show and, you know, have a cup of coffee and enjoyed his company, and went to dinner one time over there at the Mexican restaurant in Owings Mills. And I'd like to just give you a little bit of information about Mike. He's 79 years old. He moved from Randallstown to York. He passed away at his home last Friday. Born August 31st, 1943 in Wheaton, he was the son of late Albert and Ethel Kaplan. Michael was a humble man, that is true. He lived a very storied life, though he would never think of it that way. He was a kind and generous man who would do anything for family and friends, and he would. He was an Air Force veteran, honorably discharged, who served stateside in the Vietnam War as a jet engine mechanic. Michael had been involved with cars since the age of 13, which led to his career as an auto mechanic. He was a mechanic's mechanic who constantly studied car repair as they evolved from mechanical devices to computers on wheels. He also spent 35 years in the Baltimore City Fire Department. He worked his way up from firefighter to shift commander. He was injured in the job fighting the Howard Street train tunnel fire of 2001. Despite the incident, Michael still enjoyed collecting trains as well as model cars. He loved country music, especially old school classics. He also practiced Tai Chi at the U.S. Kuo Shu Academy in Owings Mills, winning numerous awards and medals. Michael survived by his loving wife, Connie Kaplan, his stepson, Scott Stevens, daughter-in-law, Yolanda Ogena Stevens, and the young man who always brought a smile to his face, his grandson, Henry O. Stevens. Also survived by his cousins, Tom and Marlene Bates, and their sons, Jason, Josh, Jared, and their families and cousins, and on it goes, the obituary. So we're so sorry to hear this about Mike. What was that? Oh, okay. We're so sorry to hear this about Mike. We're going to miss you, buddy. We're going to miss you. I hear from him every holiday. Last time we heard from him was on Valentine's Day, wishing us a happy Valentine's Day, which that got returned to he and his wife. So, sad news around WCBM Studios. All right, let's see who we got on the line. Mike, good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, Alan.
Yes, sir.
I wanted to ask a question. Have you heard about why they're putting the restrictions on the fish in Western Maryland? Is that because of the derailment of the train, or what's that from?
I saw that fish advisory consumption.
Uh-huh.
Has something to do with the hatchery.
The hatchery itself?
Yeah, I think any fish that originated in the hatchery, they have a consumption restriction on that. And that would be, you know, the trout that they use that hatchery to stock, I'm going to say, a majority of the trout in Maryland. I haven't dug down into it.
Is that the hatchery at Beaver Creek?
Yes, Beaver Creek Hatchery. Yep, right there. Yeah, I've been there several times, so I don't know what's going on there, but they are issuing a fish advisory, consumption advisory. I believe it's once a week, and it's more so for kids. I think that's how I read it. I can't remember it right now, but
okay.
You know, I'll try to find that and put that on the air soon. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I do a lot of fishing up there. I got a place right there in Green Ridge.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of people head up that way, no question.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
All right, buddy, thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye. Jack in Joppa, good morning, Jack.
Good morning. First, I'm sorry to hear about the loss of your friend Mike Kaplan. He sounded like quite a guy from what you were reading.
And you know,
so I just wanted to say I'm sorry about the loss of him.
Yep.
I wanted to ask you, I have a bounce about, I guess, 30 yards by 40 yards pond. It's a spring. It's a live spring that comes in and fills it, and then it comes off, so it stays pretty much the same all the time.
Yeah.
It's got bass in it. My question is, what other fish would you recommend that would be okay to stock the pond with other than bass, or should it only be bass?
Oh, no, you can put some bluegills in there. That'll be an excellent
with the bass. Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be an excellent food source for the bass. You know, I'm guessing if it's that big of a pond, they've already got enough food. I'm sure they've got frogs and salamanders and snakes and everything else that bass eat there, you know, thereby. But, stay away from the catfish. You could put some bullheads in there if you really felt like you needed some catfish. But I wouldn't put a lot of that kind of stuff in, quite frankly.
Yeah, I wanted to get your opinion. I appreciate
that.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you very much.
A lot of people wind up, they'll stock, they'll go to the local pond and dump a bait bucket in there full of minnows and particular golden shiners.
Oh.
What they don't realize is those golden shiners get to be about a foot long after a while. A friend back in Pennsylvania used to fish her pond. She was actually worked for my dad and invited me to fish her pond. And the first fish I caught was a golden shiner about a foot long. And I thought, what in the world is this?
Yeah, what's this?
And I realized what it was. And, you know, some of the lakes that are frequently fished by live fishermen, there used to be a lake at a place called Shawnee in Bedford County, Shawnee Lake. And we'd fish that for bass, and we'd catch those golden shiners in there, and they were just amazing. I mean, if you're in Florida and you catch a golden shiner, you want to put it on a hook and catch a largemouth bass with it. But in the Mid-Atlantic, they're kind of a pest.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with them. Are they edible when they get to be that big?
No, that's the problem. They're not.
They're not. Okay.
They're not. So, you know, grow some bluegills in there. Crappie wouldn't be bad if you put some crappie in there. Yep, you can put some white or black crappie, and you'll be good with all that.
Good. Thank you for your information. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Yeah, man. Thank you.
Bye.
All right. Yep, take care. Ken in Glen Burnie. Thank you. Ken, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I called to enter the contest.
Okay.
And I did have one question. It's been a while. When do they do the dredging for the crab survey? What time of year is that?
That's going on now.
Ah, I thought. I was on,
yeah, it's called the winter dredge survey. Yep. It's going on now before the water gets warm, before the crabs get established and get up out of the mud. They dredge them up out of the mud to see what the density is.
And the results, how long does it take to process all that stuff?
Well, we put the crab magazine out last year in May and didn't have the results of the winter dredge by May. So, I mean, shortly after that, in mid to late May, early June, you know, but there were some issues with the communications folks in the last administration. So hopefully that'll improve.
Okay, great. Well, okay. I really like your show, and thanks a lot.
All right, buddy. Thank you so much. Okay. Take care. All right. Let's see. Paul in Pikesville. Morning, Paul.
Hi, Alan. How are you today?
Doing well. How about you?
I'm well. I really just wanted to, first, I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, well, congratulations. Thank you.
Love your show. Very informative. Thank you so much for reading about Mike. We called him Chief.
And, sure.
Yeah, we lived real close, and he would take care of our cars, my family's
yes,
cars.
Indeed. Yes,
and that's really it. You brought tears to my eyes. I heard about Mike and Chief and
kind of a misnomer. We call Captain Don because Don is also Chief Don.
You know? Okay.
Yeah, we may have to. I don't know if the captain thing comes from him being on a boat fishing all the time, or we just made it up out of whole cloth. But you know, we call him Captain Don, but he's actually Chief Don. So and they serve together.
Wow, how about
they served together? Yeah, they did.
And I know, and I didn't hear the whole thing, but I do know that he was a dear friend of the late great talk show host, my name
Tom Maher.
Yep,
Luskin Solving. Yeah.
Yep. Mr.
He was Maher. He was at the station almost every morning. You know.
Good. Yeah. Well,
including Saturday mornings when we were there.
So. Yeah. Then you guys were equally blessed and have. Equally blessed.
Indeed.
All right. Well, thank you for eulogizing him.
Nice guy. Yes, sir.
All right. Take care.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Arnold. Good morning, Arnold. How are you, sir? Hello, Arnold.
Can you hear me now?
Hey, Arnold. How you doing?
Awesome. Good to
What's
hear you.
What's going on, man?
Hey, we're motoring our way up. We've got our first hunter's education class of the calendar year.
Oh, good.
Had Phil up last night, and he gave us our recertification for the year.
Got it.
We got all the fresh input from DNR on the things going on in the state. So,
a lot of things happening in the General Assembly this time.
Well, he wasn't so much that, but he had the latest safety results from the 2022 season, and
how'd we do?
I would think it. He'll jump in here and correct me. I think he said there were 8 incidents, no fatalities, 5 were from tree stands, and 3 others.
Yeah.
And for 100,000 hunters, I think what we're doing is making a difference.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question that hunter safety education has made all the difference in the world, not only in Maryland, but where they're very active as far as teaching the hunter safety education courses. No question about it. No question. So.
And it's real heartening, too. And I think last week you were talking about the 3Rs program. We always have, I'd say, probably 3 to 5 youth hunters in the course.
Yep.
And this year we've recruited an apprentice instructor, young man who's 17, very accomplished hunter, fisher. Matter of fact, he was 14, 15. He happened to bring a turkey into the check station where we actually teach at, and it was kind of neat to get everybody around to take a look at the big old Tom that he got. So, healthy program here in Harford County.
Yes, indeed. Good folks in Harford County, no question. We have a story in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, the issue that's currently online, MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com. It was written by Captain Bill Thompson. And Bill, lifelong outdoorsman, we have him set up as Tales from the Shore. His first story is about a mule and a haircut, which is an interesting story. But his second one in the same column is called Billy, Him, Be Sure of Your Shot. Long story short, when he was 12 years old, he bought a Model 67A Winchester single-shot bolt-action rifle. He bought it when he was 12 after many weeks of saving his money. He was squirrel hunting, and he said, I saw the tail of a squirrel flicking behind and at the base of a large oak. 3 times I raised the rifle in the direction of the tail of the squirrel, and all 3 times I opted not to fire. If I were shot, there were 2 chances of a miss, slim and none. I cannot remember why I held up on this shot. Maybe it was training at Marine Corps. Maybe more than likely it was my lessons from my boyhood mentors, hunter safety instructors, called grandfathers back then, Pop Roberts or Pop Smith, our high school rifle club instructor. That's going back. I'd heard it 1,000 times. Billy, be sure of your shot. I gave up my perch and walked down to the tree that the squirrel was hiding behind. I came even with the other side of the tree. My heart almost stopped. Sitting beside his father was a 9-year-old boy wearing a coonskin cap complete with a tail that in the dawn's early light looked exactly like a squirrel tail.
Wow.
I reached over and took the hat off the lad and shook it in the face of his father. I yelled at him that if he wanted someone to shoot his son, he might as well paint a target on his back. I then reminded him that he was trespassing on my property, and if I ever caught him there again, I'd give him a whooping he would long remember. About 8 years later, a young man stopped me at Ace Hardware and told me he was the kid I almost shot years ago down at Willow Pond Woods. He told me he always tried to be as careful with his rifle as I had been with mine. He then wished me a good day and walked away. I stood there for a minute remembering, then looked skyward and whispered, "Thank you."
Wow. That's powerful. That
yes,
is a powerful
is.
Story.
Yes, it is. No question. No question. I thought I would share that with you. If you'd like to read the whole thing online, it's MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com. So.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm going to have to check it out. We'll add that to our instructor library.
There you go. Sure, let's get you guys some. I don't know if they still have some left at Autumn Sky Outfitters or not, but swing in there and grab some.
I will do that.
Okay.
Hey, listen, I'm about to roll through the gate here, so I'm going to have to say goodbye. So.
All right, buddy. Thanks for the call. I appreciate that.
Take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, man. Take care. All right. Anybody else on the line there, Mr. Aaron? Okay. Fran in Baltimore. Let's talk to Fran, then we'll take our break. Good morning, Fran. How are you?
Yes, good morning, Alan and Robin. But let me tell you this. You know, last week I felt empathy toward you guys for the appliances going crazy.
Yeah, no question.
I know how much stress that can cause.
Yeah.
But and financially, too. But I thought to myself afterwards, I said, you know what? I would rather the appliances require immediate attention than for your physical health, for you, to cause immediate attention.
Uh-huh.
All right? So the appliances, we can work out, but for the either one of you to be dealing with your own health would be much more serious than the appliances.
Yes, I agree.
And another thing I wanted to say, when that diabetic thing went off, were you awake or asleep? Did you?
I was asleep. It woke me right up.
Okay, let me say this. Now, this is just a thought. I don't know nothing about what I'm talking about. I'm just guessing, okay?
What's new?
when you sleep,
yes,
your heart beats different. Your
yep.
breathing is different.
Yeah.
And you also deal with bronchitis, don't you?
Not much. Not as much as
I used to. A little bit,
yeah. Yep.
I'm thinking to myself, your heart rate and your breathing may have influenced it going off because it associated, maybe, with you needing to wake up. I mean, it's just a thought.
Well, you know, here's the deal. This thing's on me 24/7.
Right.
And it alarms if it goes. I can't. Let me see if I can see my. Let me see something here, real quick. Yeah, it'll alarm if it goes over under 70 and over like 240.
Uh huh.
But I'm usually midline between there without any issues at all. And if it goes up. It alarms. If it goes down, it alarms. And it's a loud enough alarm that it wakes me up. So,
and
wakes Robin up. So it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Well, so. One last thing real quick was on my mind last week. I know Robin doesn't like snakes. And
not much,
you,
no.
For you, is it spiders, did you say?
What's that? Spiders, yes.
Spiders. Well, I have a weird one that bothers me. In my region, I probably will never see one, but I watched a movie once that freaked me out, and that is, what you call them? those things that break off and roll around in the dust.
Scorpions?
No, they break off from the root and they roll around in the dirt, usually in the desert.
Tumbleweeds?
That's it. I couldn't look. I forgot. Tumbleweed. I saw a movie once. Tumbleweeds. I saw a movie once where the tumbleweeds, it wasn't the wind that moved them. They had learned to communicate with each other.
Oh, my God.
And move in together around your door, around you. And that movie freaked me out so bad that when I see a tumbleweed, even in a regular Western or something, and they're not even moving, I'll yell out at the screen, watch the tumbleweeds, you know.
That's funny.
So I was just thinking, I know that's a strange one to be freaked out about, but I can't stand them.
Okay. That's funny. Well, just watch, there's none of them rolling down your street.
Oh, yeah, right, right, okay.
All right. Thanks, Fran.
I have a good week this time.
You do the same. Thank you. Bye-bye. Robin said she loves you, Fran. So, all right, I said got it earlier. I'm sorry I said got it. I got criticized for saying got it all the time in an email, so I apologize for saying that. I'm trying to clean up my act, so if I say it more than once during a show, call me on it. You know, even if I do get it and say got it, it's offensive, so I don't want to trigger anybody out there, okay? And I don't want to get canceled for saying got it, okay? 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. We have got to take a break. I've got to tell you about our friends at Backyard Billy's. You know, it's windy out there. It's cold. It's nasty. And if you look out in your backyard, your picnic table's just sitting there all lonely and shivering because it's all wood and it's, you know, it needs cleaned up and it's a little wobbly and the benches don't quite work anymore. So why not stop by Backyard Billy's and check out the huge selection of colorful poly and hardwood outdoor and patio furniture. And you look over a little bit further on your deck and there sits that grill. That poor grill's been sitting out there all winter and it's rusty and the hinges don't work and the bolts are missing. Oh, wait, that's mine. you go to Backyard Billy's, you can check out the colorful poly and hardwood outdoor and patio furniture, including tables and chairs, especially over 300 Adirondack chairs. You can see all that from Route 50 at exit 44 on Kent Island. Gym sets and tiki bars and storage sheds, you'll see them all sitting right out there in Backyard Billy's backyard. Free setup and delivery within 60 miles and free delivery to the Maryland and Delaware beaches. Now, inside Backyard Billy's showroom, you can check out the barbecue grills, the pellet grills by Traeger that you can control with your Bluetooth on your phone, like my new washing machine. Big Green Egg and Kamado Joe grill smokers. And there's a huge assortment of outdoor fire pits and rings. And you will be amazed at everything that you can see in there. The garden decorations, the furniture for any lifestyle theme and budget. Backyard Billy's is also the premier fireplace and hearth dealer in the region. BackyardBilly's.com, 410-827-4500. 410-827-4500. Open 7 days a week, Route 50, exit 44, Graysonville. Your backyard is going to look just great. Hey, it's time for Clyde's Sports Shop's Let's Go Fishing 10-day sale. Starts this Friday. That's right. St. Patrick's Day sale at Clyde's Sports Shop runs for 10 days. March 17th through Sunday, March 26th. Store-wide sale. Fishing rods, reels, combos, all fishing tackle 10% off. Excludes bait and licenses. Take your empty spools to Clyde's Sports Shop. Take them in, and they'll fill them with premium monofilament for half price. You can get them all filled up. You'll be ready with fresh line to start the new fishing year. Shakespeare, Ugly Stick, Fluger rods and reels, Fluger spinning reels on sale featuring the President Series. I've got one. They're really nice spinning reels. Penn spinning reels on sale featuring the Battle 3 Series. All rod and reel combos on sale. Kids combos start at $19.95 for rod, reel, and tackle. Specific trout packages, bass packages, catfish packages, panfish packages, and more. And don't forget to check out that beautiful selection of St. Croix fishing rods. Live and frozen bait and minnows, crab and supplies, circle hooks for rockfish, tackle for perch, trout, panfish, and bass, fishing licenses, rod repairs, and terminal tackle, all at Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway Exit 9. That phone number, 410-242-6108. Been around since 1957, ClydeSports.com or ClydesFishingGear.com. Open 7 days a week. You'll be glad you did. 410-242-6108. Let's go fishing. 10-day sale starts this Friday. We'll be right back.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, madonnaseafood.com. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On-Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On-Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex Bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, or any kind of tools. Have your Linex Bedliner installed at Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. Catonsville Linex is just off Security Boulevard on 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver, 410-455-0800, 455-0800. These Linex dealers can install tough truck gear accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. And ask about the Linex fleet service. Do what I did and have Linex install your spray-on truck bed liner and truck gear today. Linex. Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment. And you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. Now, at Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range, is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. The gun range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports and competition, hunting, and home protection, ammunition too. And Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range, services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. The phone number is 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
I went a-fishing one day, and I put my hook out in the water, and something got a hold to it, and it tried to get loose. When I pulled it up, it was a big fish on the hook. He was a-twisting and a-turning, trying to get loose. But the hook had him down, and it couldn't get loose. And I said, I wish the Lord would hook me one day like this hooked fish. He hooked his feeling in me, and one Friday evening he came into my soul, and he hooked me with his spirit. And ever since that day, a song come into my mind. I said it like a Jeremiah say, there's a fire now that's burning, and it's set up in my
mind. All right, let's go to our caller. Anybody on the line there, Aaron? Walt in Annapolis. Good morning, Walt. How you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I wanted to enter the contest, but also I wanted to ask you a question.
Okay.
I hunt Norrisville, Northern Hartford County.
Yep.
And we had quite a few deer on the farm early on. Now, the crops didn't do well this year. And right. by the end of the season, we weren't seeing much of anything. And so after the season, we started to service some of the stands and things like that that we had on there. And we came across in three different areas, fawns, like the entire body, just bones and fur left for three yeah. fawns on the farm. And I'm wondering if you think it might have been a coyote issue or just the fact there was a lack of food towards the end.
Well, it could be either one. But the lack of food is usually not an issue with deer. Keep in mind, deer have been around since prehistory. And they've been survivors. Okay, so they've adapted. They have a feeding system that goes from soft crops in the summertime to agriculture crops to mast crops to browse in the wintertime. I think it's more likely that you had a little outbreak of EHD up there. If the bones were just complete and laying there like a preserved skeleton, that's going to be EHD. If the bones were scattered, that's going to be coyotes.
Okay. Now, these were intact, I mean, for the most part, except for things that ate on it a little bit, but the whole skeleton
yeah.
was there, and there were
yeah.
fawns. I mean,
yeah.
all three of them were fawns.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, a coyote and foxes will actually scatter the remains. They'll take their share and go with it. Okay. I mean, you'll find, you know, femur over here and a, you know, rib cage over there and that type of thing. But if they're all there intact, I'm going to say likely EHD. Now, does anybody feed corn?
I had a feeder at the center of one of the fields, not where we were hunting, but just to
do you feed year round?
On the farm.
Do you feed year round?
I'm sorry.
Do you feed year round?
Yeah,
does your feeder run year round, all year long?
No, I usually start it in August and then shut it down towards the end of the season.
Yeah, okay, that's good, because if you're feeding corn during that browse period when they're eating browse, in the winter, once the agriculture crops are depleted and the mast crops are depleted, they switch to browse, you know, which is twigs and that type of thing. They
yeah.
browse on the tips of trees and that sustains them. If you're feeding corn anytime after that at any length, you know, you can lead to disastrous results. If you look up the term acidosis, acidosis, you'll see what I'm talking about. Acidosis in deer. It's not pleasant. And, it comes from having a belly full of corn and not eating correctly. And it just wreaks havoc with their body. So, But people that feed year round need to be aware of that. Their deer are perfectly capable of surviving on their own without our help. And that's why the states have abandoned all the feeding programs to rescue their deer. You know, in the Midwest, they used to have massive feeding programs for when the deer got in their deer yards. They'd take, you know, hay bales out and corn and everything else. And you don't see that anymore. So, to supplement the wildlife, they don't need it. So. But, yeah, the ramifications can be bad. Not everywhere, but some places. So, but, no, I would were these fawns near water?
Not
bad.
I mean, they were in actually fields or a wood edge, but they, there's a small stream on the face, but they weren't right near the water.
They weren't right there. Okay. Yeah. Now I'm thinking with if you know they were intact as you said, that's going to be something like EHD, which is I imagine that's what it was epizootic hemorrhagic disease. So
now is there anything we can do to address the issue or
if you can figure out how to kill all the midges and gnats and mosquitoes on the farm, you might be able to do that. Mosquito doesn't carry it. But the little midge, the little no-see-ums, they carry it. People don't know that they're bloodsuckers like mosquitoes are, and they will bite the animal and inject the virus into them.
And would the fawns be a little more susceptible because of the low body weight?
No, it'll kill the biggest buck on the property just as quick as a fawn.
Wow.
Yep. It's a hemorrhagic disease. So what it does is it causes a fever. Okay. The organs begin to literally melt and hemorrhage because of the effects of this disease. And because the fever is so high, the animals tend to head to water. That's why you'll find animals, you know, along streams and stream banks and pond banks and things like that. Yeah, actually in the water, in the ponds, that type of thing, because they're trying to quench that heat, that fever. But sometimes they can survive. Sometimes they can carry it for a couple of weeks and survive. Other times they're dead within days. So, you know, it depends on the severity. It depends on the strain. I think there's 7 different strains or something like that of EHD. I think we've identified 3 or 4 of them here in Maryland. So.
Okay, we'll keep our eye out. I appreciate this, though. It was pretty informative there.
Well, that's what we do. Inform, entertain, and, you know, try to do the best we can in about all things outdoors. But I appreciate the call.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you. Uh-oh.
Take care.
Yep. Robin, I said got it again. How you doing on the winners? Do we have anybody yet?
Yeah.
Okay. Just write their names down, if you would, and you can out. What's that?
You just need one. How many sets are you giving away?
3. I'm here, Aaron. I'm just waiting. Sorry for the dead air, folks. I thought we had them. No, we're giving away 3, so just write them down. Just write names down, hand them to me. All right. Sorry. 3 sets, baby. 3 sets this week, 3 sets next week. So, all right. Thank you very much. We got Mike Morgan, Walt, and Chuck. So we'll be getting in touch with you, getting your mailing addresses, and sending tickets out to you as soon as we get them, which will be probably early next week. So that sounds good. And then next week we'll give another 3 sets away, and then we'll be done, because after that, it's time for the show. This week, this weekend, today actually, we're getting ready to head to the Maryland Bowhunter Society banquet. If you're coming to the banquet, bring one of your deer. We'll measure it up for the record book, bucks, bears, stags. And we've got a great velvet buck coming that's just a monster. We're anxious to see that. And then we'll have a surprise deer on display that it's a historic buck here in Maryland. It's one of the top 10 here in Maryland, and it'll be on display at our booth over there. So I think 219-inch buck, something like that, if I remember it from memory. Let's talk to Dale. Good morning, Dale. How are you?
Inform, entertain, and educate.
Inform, entertain, and educate. That's it. That's exactly right.
Yep. Alan, do you... next time that happens, check your blood sugar.
Okay.
Those Dexcoms are nice, but they're not infallible.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to recalibrate them. I've had mine for 10 years, and there's some interesting situations that have arisen. So.
Okay.
It's important.
Good to know. Good to know.
So, there was a thing on the news last night about hunters having to, trappers having to mark their traps. Have you heard anything about that? Whether it's a piece of legislation or,
I'm not sure, Dale, on that one. When I was a kid in Pennsylvania, I think you've always been required to tag your traps.
That's what I thought in Maryland. I thought they had to be marked, but evidently they don't.
Yeah. Yeah, and I found dead muskrats in the sportsman's pond that were in traps, and it angered me so much that the trap hadn't been checked and the muskrat had desiccated to the point where it was the fur and everything else was useless.
Yeah, it was no good.
I was upset, and I just simply pulled the stake and chucked the trap out in the middle of the lake.
Later found out.
It was a unscrupulous character that did that, so it didn't hurt my feelings at all.
I was just wondering if the state is starting to tighten up on a few things that I didn't I don't know. Has there been any change in the hierarchy that you know of in DNR, wildlife or fisheries?
No, everything's kind of status quo right now, kind of on hold with the new administration coming in.
Yeah, I thought they would have made some, appointments by now.
I talked to your friend Paul, in fisheries. He's on vacation right now. We'll talk next week, but not that I know of. So, I mean, they still don't have a director. They have Gina's acting director. So,
who is?
Not Gina. Lynn.
Lynn's acting.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yep.
That should be good. I hope they're smart enough to realize how good she is.
Uh-huh, no question. So
okay.
Anyway.
All right, well, I'd say...
information on the Dexcom. It was a new transmitter this week.
So. Okay, yeah, because there's a 7 coming out, Alan, that the transmitter will be built into the sensor.
Yep, already ordered it.
Oh, did you? Okay. Right.
I haven't gotten it. Don't know if I will. The way it was ordered through the pharmacy, there seemed to be some insurance issues. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Although not, Alan, they're wonderful, but they're not infallible. Trust me.
I agree. That's just like a firearm, buddy.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's just like a firearm. A safety on a firearm. What do hunter safety instructors say about safeties on firearms? A mechanical device that's subject to failure.
Failure.
Yep.
Yep. So.
Subject to failure. Keep your gun pointed in a safe direction. Don't depend on the safety. Safety is a mechanical device subject to failure.
My best to the boss.
Yep.
My best to the
boss. Best to yours. Thanks, Dan.
Okay.
Appreciate the update.
I'll catch you.
Uh-huh. Bye-bye. 410 WCBM 680. We got to take a break. I'm sorry. Is anybody on hold there, Aaron? Yep, just make sure. Hey, Spurrier's Tire Service, located at the corner of Dover and Elliott Roads, just off Route 50. I love going there. In Easton, that's where the locals get their tires and their auto service work done. Featuring American-made Bridgestone and Firestone tires, as well as Michelin, Yokohama, Spurrier's Tire Service has the tires for your car, your truck, any make, any model, and Spurrier's Tire Service has any tire for any machine in your backyard or your barnyard. From your garden tractor to your farm machinery to your garden tractor to your lawnmower to your wheelbarrows. That's how broad their base is as far as tires is concerned. Tire repair. Full service automotive repair, including checking, diagnosing, and repairing your vehicle when that check engine light comes on. Yep, that happens. 24-hour truck service and much more has kept Spurrier's customers, including Robin and me, satisfied for over 30 years. Stop by with no appointment needed for tires. Let me read that again. No appointment needed for tires, or call Spurrier's Tire Service in Easton, 410-822-7384. Hit the website, spurrierstire.com, spurrierstire.com. That's 410-822-7384 for Spurrier's Tire Service. Hey, folks, do you have a beautiful fireplace in your house and you never use it? Yeah, that's what happened here. It was a hole in the wall. It sucked the heat out of the room. Well, we filled that gap when we visited Hearth America at Backyard Billy's on Kent Island, the premier fireplace stove and hearth dealer in the region. Robin and I selected an EX35 model Enviro gas fireplace insert. Now, that same company, Enviro, they make a great pellet stove, freestanding and insert if you prefer that. We like the gas. However, if you also like a wood fireplace or stove, the newest and greatest come from a company called Regency, which is also carried by Backyard Billy's, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. Backyard Billy's did our installation. They provided us with friendly, knowledgeable follow-up and service. We both enjoy the convenience of the remote control, the beauty, and the room-filling heat from our gas fireplace insert from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's, and you will too. You can select a new pellet, gas, electric, or wood stove from Hearth America at Backyard Billy's in Graysonville. Stop in the showroom soon. You'll be ready for the future cold weather. I'm talking about next year, not tomorrow, because you won't be ready for tomorrow. But you can go get the process started today if you like. Visit BackyardBillys.com or the Hearth America Facebook page, 827-4500. That's 410-827-4500, Hearth America at Backyard Billy's. They're open 7 days a week today and tomorrow, Route 50, Exit 44B, Evans Avenue, Graysonville. If it's heat you want, Hearth America is the fireplace. We'll be right back.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, MadonnaSeafood.com. Alan Ellis here for Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners. Linex Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market. Whether you're a hunter, crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your Linex bedliner with a lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, any kind of tool. Have your Linex bedliner installed at Catonsville Linex just off Security Boulevard, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver, 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins, 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. These Linex dealers can install tough truck gear accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. And ask about the Linex fleet services. Do what I did and have Linex install your spray-on truck bedliner and truck gear today. Linex. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery. Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
All right. Not a lot of time for bump music. Let's talk to Ronald. Thanks for holding on, Ronald. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Brother Alan. How you doing?
Good morning, Ronald.
Oh, man. Alan, good morning. I'd like to say good morning to you and Miss Robin there.
Miss Robin says hi.
I also like to say, Alan, I'm sorry about your friend Mike. I didn't get to know him. And right. I thank Aaron for putting me on there. And
sure.
I also like to say, Alan, always please say hello to my old buddy, Chris.
Yep.
I know
we talk to him occasionally.
Oh, and, okay. So please say hello to Chris for me.
I'll do it. We'll take care of that for you, buddy.
Alan, I still enjoy listening to the show.
Well, thanks, Ronald.
This morning.
What's that?
I said the show was very good this morning.
Oh, well, good. We appreciate morning. That. Yep.
Yes, sir.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, buddy. You take
All
care.
All right, Alan. Take care.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Bye-bye. All right, Captain Don, or should I say Chief Don, good morning.
I think it's the only time I've been demoted by a civilian from
It's just easier to say.
I know, but you know what? I kind of prefer the captain thing because it's more relevant to the show. You know, being on the boat and, you know, the captain of the boat and all. So anyway.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Mike Kaplan, you know, he enjoyed things. When he you know, get connected with something he really enjoyed. He always talked about, you know, being around people at WCBM and referred to himself as an intern. So some of us who knew Mike and, you know, some of us retired, we would talk about the intern. Hey, have you talked to the intern this week, or have you heard the intern?
That's pretty funny. Yeah, that's
oh,
good.
Yeah. But he really enjoyed your company, and I found it kind of amusing when I would hear the guys on the morning shows, CBM, refer to Mike once in a while. They would get, what do you think, Mike? Oh, you know. But,
yep.
He really enjoyed that connection up there. He was a good fireman. We used to say in the old days, he was a good fireman. He was a good fireman. He didn't like a whole lot of bull. He couldn't play politics too much. He couldn't stand all that.
Right.
He just wanted to get the job done. Do what had to be and get it done, you know, with a whole lot of fanfare. But he did help us with some training prior to 9/11 and prior to the tunnel fire downtown back in 2001. Set up some training. A lot of people didn't know all that, but had big interest in trains. So we all got down into the tunnels to practice some of what we do, you know, rescue and things like that. So.
Sure.
But loyal guy, and he'll be missed.
Yes, sir. He will be. No question about it. No question.
And I did want to mention this morning, we had two Kennys and a Tony in a truck going to one of the local shows. And I know they're listening because they texted me earlier. So, and Rigatoni, Captain Rigatoni was the guy on the crabbing boat maybe the year before last. We did a live crabbing operation down in the Magathy River using the trot line. And it was a blow-by-blow. And you thought that was pretty good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So, anyway.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Okay. Take care.
All right, man.
And
thanks. Thank you, Chief.
Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, folks. There's the music. Robin was unable to join us. She was here in spirit. Actually, she was here in the room, but she's busy working on something for today. So time for me to say get out, stay out, stay warm. Give everybody in your family a hug. Give them a phone call. Tell them you're thinking about them. Catch you next week.